letter to the Galatians, Paul wrote these liberating words. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. G'day, I'm Clayton Biel, and today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes a message that was introduced earlier this week. Even though followers of Jesus Christ have been completely relieved of the punishment we deserve, some of us insist on living like we're in bondage to sin. In this study, we'll challenge that notion as together we're giving thanks for God's grace.
Most religions today are based on works. That's why most people today who worship are miserable or fearful. So Paul says to the Galatians, verse 6, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him. Notice who we desert, not the gospel, Christ. You're deserting him. Verse 8, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we originally preached to you, he is to be accursed. Accursed. He brings down the desire that God bring a curse on such false teachers. And in case you missed it, verse 9 shows that Paul's a good preacher. He repeats himself. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he's to be accursed. Paul doesn't say we should tolerate it. He doesn't say, you know, really, he means well. He's sincere. Let me give you the true gospel. The good news is that God has come to our rescue because we couldn't rescue ourselves. In doing so, he demonstrates undeserved favor toward us in giving us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve that favor. He did that when he gave his son to die for us, who paid the complete penalty for our sins. And in receiving his son, Christ, God calls us to himself, makes us a member of his family, puts us into Christ, and secures our relationship with him. He declares us righteous. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, all these things are from him. There are none from us. To turn from the grace, the gospel of grace, is to turn from the God of grace. Now, Paul's word is anathema. If anyone tells you other than that, may he be accursed. May he be accursed. I didn't say that. I'm reading what is right here. The last word of verse 8 and the last word of verse 9. Look at it for yourself. That's how strongly Paul stood for the grace of Christ. Now, some of you may think, was this kind of a sudden burst of intemperance? Paul just angry? Is this inconsistent with the gentle spirit of Christ? Is this an utterance from a man who is ultra narrow-minded? No. It's from a man who wants to free you. And he's telling us the truth. There were some in Paul's day who said, you're just a man pleaser. You're telling the Gentiles this so they can get in free, just like the rest of us have had to work to get in. Paul says in verse 10, am I still trying to please men? Why, if I were trying to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. You know how you please people? Tell them what they want to hear. You know what that means? You could help yourself be saved. Oh, how good is that? So I'm going to work hard and help myself be righteous. You know the problem with that? It's a lie. Jesus paid it all. Which reminds me, you work someplace, you earn a wage. Now, when you get your check for your work, you don't go, oh, thank you,
for this gift.
It isn't a gift. You earned it. You deserve it. In fact, for them not to give it to you is unfair. You've earned it. But if you've not really done a great job, and you've kind of been sloughing off, and Christmas comes, and you get a $500 bonus, oh, that's grace. Thank you. I don't deserve it. No, you don't. You've been a poor worker, but I want you to understand how much I love you. Because that which drives grace is love. He loves us. Why? What's to love? You know, there isn't really a good human answer except the love that's in his heart for us. What makes a mother love a screaming child who has perpetual colic and throws up everything she feeds him day and night? You know what it is? We call it a mother's love. Our Father loves us with the mother love of a Father God. And he never is out of love toward us. That's grace. Love it. And it's so illogical, it makes people smile. Now, when you really believe this, then you stop giving people a list to live by. Okay? That's called legalism. For you to be spiritual, you must fall in line with my list. Now look at chapter 5 of Galatians, where he goes into that. Chapter 5, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. It was so you could know liberty that Christ set you free. You are given his favor and you are set free of guilt and shame. You are established on the rock of Christ. And he says, therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. You know what that says? It says liberty's worth fighting for. Vigilance is the price of freedom. Our country's founded on the principle. Started way back in the Revolutionary War. Before then, we said we will not live under the yoke of England. And we're willing to take up arms if we have to and fight for our liberty. Matter of fact, maybe your history has gotten a little bit foggy. A passionate 39-year-old radical thinking attorney stood to his feet to address the Virginia Convention. Took place on March 23, 1775. His passion refused to be silenced any longer, sounding like a prophet of God rather than simply a patriot for his country. He said this, and I quote, "If we wish to be free, we must fight. I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. The gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun," referring to the Revolutionary War. "Our brethren are already in the field." And he says to the convention, "Why stand we here idle? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." We go, "Good for you, Patrick Henry." And then we buckle under the intimidation of a legalist. It's always been amazing to me. Legalists need to be confronted. We need to stand against it. Back in October 1998, we founded Stonebriar Community Church. Didn't know anybody, didn't have a team of folks that surrounded us and said, now let's go together. In my heart was a desire to establish a church based on the grace of God. It would be a message of grace that we would establish, and it would be carried through the teaching. It would be taught our children. It would be taught our youth. It would be taught our adults. People would be freed. You're free to serve Christ. You're not obligated to fill my list. You cannot name a message in which I gave you my private list for how you ought to live your private life. It's none of my business. How you live your life is between you and Christ. Why? Because of grace. You answer to him, not me. Let me tell you, I got my hands full when eternity comes answering for myself. I can't answer for you. And yes, I'm a leader, and yes, I'm a pastor, but it's not my right to manipulate you. Let me tell you a funny story, true story. Cynthia and I have friends who have folks that have served on the mission field, or they used to. While they were there, they realized that the place where they were serving didn't have any peanut butter. Okay, bear with me. Didn't have any peanut butter. And they love peanut butter. So they wrote home and they said to their friends, send us a case of peanut butter. That'd be better than anything. So they got the peanut butter sent to them. What they overlooked was the fact that on this particular mission compound, you're more spiritual if you give up peanut butter. Says who? Hey, the guru. Who's in charge of that particular compound? We don't eat peanut butter. We've sacrificed that for Christ. Oh, really? Not this family. They got the jar there. They're putting that thing on toast. They're putting that thing on ice cream. They're putting that thing on the eggs. They got peanut butter everywhere. That group of legalists made life so miserable for our missionary friends, they finally had to leave the mission field. Why? Shouldn't be eating peanut butter. Understand, they didn't fly a flag saying, we got lots of peanut butter here. They didn't put a sign on the front door saying, peanut butter eaters, welcome. They just served peanut butter. Now, we all go, how ridiculous can it be? Well, let me help you out. You can't play cards. You can't own certain cars. You can't work out in leotards. Now, I have seen some that need to think about that before they do, but it's another subject, you know. You must every morning have time with God. Every morning. If you don't, we're going to answer to us. Or each day you must pray now and now and then and then and then and then. And the list goes on and on and on. Daniel Taylor, in his book, The Myth of Certainty, writes these wise words. The great weapon of authoritarianism is legalism. The manufacturing and manipulation of rules for the purpose of illegitimate control. Perhaps the most damaging of all the perversions of God's will and Christ's work, legalism clings to the law at the expense of grace, to the letter in place of the Spirit. Legalism is one more expression of the human compulsion for security. If we can vigorously enforce an exhaustive list of do's and don'ts with an emphasis on external behavior, we not only can control human beings, we have God's favor as well. We stand against that at this church. We will stand against that till the last day of my life and hopefully the last day of your life. We will stand firm in the liberty we have in Christ and not be subject again to a yoke of bondage. We will not go there. We will not allow that. Now, here some of you say, hot dog, get out of my way. I'm going to live like I please. That is not biblical either. Oh, shoot, you think. Look down at verse 13. You were called to freedom. I love this. Paul has a wonderful way of putting things. You were called to freedom. Yeah, man. That's right, buddy. Called to freedom. Only, hear the brakes. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. See the word opportunity? It's the key word in the verse. It's a Greek term that means in military contexts, that area in which an offensive is launched, a base of operations. Don't turn your freedom into a base of operations to launch your own self-indulgent pleasures. It's a vantage ground is what it means. In other words, don't abuse grace. Let grace work for you. And in this case, remember, you're not alone. You're in a family. When I see a person flaunting his or her liberty, I immediately realize I'm in the presence of an adolescent Christian who somehow hasn't learned the value of restraint. This verse helps us from a wild at heart, over-the-top lifestyle that lacks maturity. You know what I see in here? Verse 13, I see an absence of love in a person who does that kind of thing. And I see an absence of servant-hearted relationship. Through love, serve one another. You know what? If you did only what you want to do, when you want to do it, it's called anarchy. Now, I could ask all of you, is this the land of the free, home of the brave? It absolutely is. Do we enjoy freedom here that many, many countries do not? We absolutely do. You know what else? There are red lights out there. Sometimes they're green, but they seem always to be red when we're driving. And there are speed limit signs. They're right there. They're in English, big numbers, 40 miles an hour in this area. You know, you're free. Hey, watch this. 70 miles an hour through this 40 mile an hour zone. Guess what? There'll be other colored lights behind you on top of a car. And a frowning individual saying, what on earth are you doing? Don't you realize there are other people in this street? See, it's not anarchy. It's freedom within appropriate limits. And you know, when you drive, you have to control yourself. You're not calling your own shots. You're thinking about someone else. Other people that might be coming out into the street or children. You know that. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Care about others. I'm to care about you as a believer. You're to care about others and me. We relate to each other. We got to get along. But if I like peanut butter, it's none of your business. I serve it in my home. I don't hand it out in the neighborhood. Let me give you an illustration that you won't ever forget. I was blessed to be raised in a family of love and respect. I don't know that I ever knew abuse, and I'm grateful for that. We didn't have a lot, but we had love. And my folks didn't demand a great deal, but they did expect respect. And we were disciplined if we didn't show respect. And we grew up to respect authority. I've said to people, when I joined the Marine Corps, I learned very little about respecting authority. I'd been raised like that. I was surrounded by guys that went to hell and back in the Marine Corps boot camp trying to learn how to respect authority. I'm like, good night, Frank. Get a life. They're going to beat the snot out of you. Don't you just say yes, sir, and do it. Anyway, and I said other things, but it's none of your business. So, I'm raised to respect my mother and dad and my brother and sister. We have a lot of fun together. I don't know that any home in our neighborhood laughed more than ours or sang more than ours. We had a great relationship. Well, what you need to know is my father was a bit of a perfectionist when it came to cars. We had one car. It's a 1947 Chevy four-door sedan, straight six. He just loved that car, and he kept it spotless. When I was 15, I got my driver's license. And I said, hey, Dad, look. License, he says. Man, that's great, son. He kind of had a look of bewilderment at first, thinking, you got it? Anyway, that's great, son. That's terrific. Matter of fact, here are the keys. It's about 2 o'clock. Why don't you try to get back by dark? You're on your own. Have fun. And he gave me the keys to the 47. Shit. So I go, wow. I walk out. He says, see you later, son. I said, okay, Dad. So I burn rubber out of the driveway. No, you know better than that. I back out of the driveway. And I turn. I go down our street. And I'm thinking, you know what? I can get on the Gulf Freeway and be at Galveston in less than an hour. I mean, I could put the pedal to the metal and roll. Or I go by and get my friends, Eugene and Freddie, and we get a six-pack. We drive to Baytown, get smashed. We could have a little fun in the car. Nobody's around. Hey, I'm free. You know what? I was back around 4:30. And when I drove, I was like a Q-tip, 86-year-old Q-tip from Tampa, Florida. I'm on my own. What am I thinking? You know what I'm thinking? I love my daddy. And I respect him. And the last thing I want to do is damage something that he thinks is important. I came back in, and it's like he knew all along. How was it, son? I said, it was good. It was okay. It's nice to have my license and be on my own. He said, it's great. Thanks for taking care of things. And I learned that grace is ours to enjoy because we're free. But I also have learned others are ours to love. Because they're family. My hope is that Stonebriar Community Church will always be known as a church where grace is declared and you're left to live your life. And at the same time, we'll be known as a place that loves one another. We care about each other. We don't want to hurt each other. We want to be a source of strength that will help the other grow, mature. Let's bow together. You've said a lot to us today, our Father, about grace, and we have needed to hear it. Some struggle with it because they are legalists. Some are more controlling, and you know who they are, and I leave them with you. I ask you to teach them through this time we've had in your word to lighten up. To spend their time taking care of themselves rather than trying to straighten the lives of others up. And there are others that have lost their way. They've abused grace and they've gone too far and they're suffering the consequences. You're jealous, God. You're a faithful Father. You care about us and our health and our future. So keep it all in balance and may we be quick to forgive and slow to speak and slow to wrath. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
It's one of life's grand balancing acts, learning to live in grace, exercising our freedom and liberty, and all the while serving a faithful and jealous God. You're listening to Insight for Living and a special presentation from Chuck Swindoll, Giving Thanks for God's Grace. Chuck titled this two-part series, Guilt, Grace, and Gratitude, and you can access both sermons and the companion resources by heading to ifl.org www.paulwhitehead.com.au. And then as God prompts you to give a donation, please do follow his lead. There's no large church or institution that fully underwrites this ministry. It's your voluntary donations that make it possible for us to provide these daily visits with Chuck. To send a donation today, you can address your envelope to Insight for Living Australia, PO Box 443, Boronia, Victoria 3155. Or you can give online at ifl.org.au. That's ifl.org.au. I'm Clayton Bjellin, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll resumes his study in Nehemiah called Hand Me Another Brick, Monday on Insight for Living.